One of the country's longest-running environmental battles will come to a head today, with a decision expected on the final hurdle standing in the way of the Adani coal mine. Construction on this coal mine could start within weeks if the Queensland State Government approves Adani's plan for managing groundwater in and around the mine site in the Galilee Basin. A green light for Adani could also clear the way for another six coal mines planned for the basin. Yesterday, Richard Di Natale was re-elected as leader of the Greens. Richard Di Natale, congratulations and welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, friends. Nice to be back.
Is it all over, Red Rover? After a decade, Adani will be built if Queensland's Environment Department approves the groundwater plan. Is that the reality of today?
No, it's a long way from over, Fran. The fight's only really getting started, so... I mean, we need to remember what this is about. This is, we're facing a dangerous climate change, a breakdown of our climate, and coal is the biggest contributor to climate change. So we need to have a plan to transition away from coal to renewables. The Adani mine, despite claims made by Adani, won't create many jobs. Indeed, Adani have had to walk back their claims about jobs, but we know that renewable energy does create jobs, and it creates tens of thousands of jobs, 50,000 jobs in Queensland if we do this properly.
Sure, no one's disputing that, but why do you say it's not over yet? I mean, the Adani mine, if the department signs off, will get the go-ahead, and the department isn't giving Adani a rails run on this. It went back to the company last week. It demanded additional requirements in terms of groundwater. The CSIRO and Geoscience Australia are involved in the process.
Well, a few things, Fran. Firstly, there are a number of approvals still yet to be given. There's the approval for the rail line. That still needs to happen. There are other approvals. Of course, there's still the potential for other legal challenges. That rushed decision by Minister Price on the eve of the election, all potentially open to challenge. And, of course, there's the finances. This is a mine, and every single delay that occurs here, and we've just seen another delay where a decision made by the federal government has shown to be made incorrectly, and the minister now has to review the approvals based on the fact that they lost submissions. Can you believe what's going on within the department, that submissions were made around water aspects and those submissions were lost?
But the company says even that admission, and yes, the Federal Environment Department did lose in the federal court yesterday because they had to admit they lost some of those submissions and couldn't commit to have read all of the public submissions. But the company says that won't slow it down because that approval plan, water plan, is nothing to do with the initial stages of the Carmichael mine.
Well, the company hasn't got the finances yet, Fran. And ultimately, this proposal will only go ahead if they can get the finances. And we're a long way off from that. As I said, there's a long way to go. And ultimately, what you're going to see is you're going to see people right across the community coming together and making it very clear that this coal mine can't be built, and instead push ahead with the plan to create tens of thousands of jobs that come with making the transition to renewable energy. And ultimately, that's what this transition is about. It's about a jobs-rich transition in industries that will be here for generations, rather than a multinational coming in, making a quick buck, making the breakdown of our climate inevitable. I mean, this is one of the largest coal basins anywhere in the world. And as you said in your introduction, this is not just about Adani. We've got a Palmer mine that may go ahead. If the Adani mine goes ahead, half a dozen other coal mines waiting to exploit the coal that exists in the Galilee Basin. And if that basin is exploited, then we have almost no chance of meeting our targets under the Paris commitments. And of course, what that means is more floods, more fires, loss of the Great Barrier Reef, the Murray-Darling will be gone. They are the impacts of dangerous climate change. They are the impacts
sure.
of this mine going ahead.
But in terms of this mine, I mean, Queenslanders were very clear in the federal election that in their view, if the environmental approvals stack up, if the science stack up, they want the mine to go ahead. That was very much the issue for many who voted, obviously, in Queensland. Yet Queensland Greens MP Michael Berkman has this week asked the state speaker, Curtis Pitt, to refer the Adani mining chief, Lucas Dow, to the Parliamentary Ethics Committee for allegedly overstating the number of people that will be employed by Adani at the mine site. Now, isn't that a bit of a stretch, and doesn't it fly in the face of what the people said in the election? I'm not arguing that, people can't have opposition to coal, but there is also, we do have a legal process, environmental process in this country that are being followed.
Well, a couple of things again, Fran. Firstly, our environment laws are very, very weak, and the fact that there's no climate trigger as part of our environment laws tells you how, just how weak they are. That you can approve a project on the basis of it being environmentally sound and not taking into account climate change as part of that approval process shows you just how flawed the environmental approvals are. The Adani CEO has overstated the amount of jobs that will flow from this mine, and we do know that if we made the transition and made that quickly, we could create tens of thousands more jobs, clean jobs, long-term jobs. And ultimately, we have during elections make decisions based on a whole range of reasons, and we shouldn't fall into this trap that people in Queensland voted on the basis of one issue.
As you don't think some of them did in the coal regions?
Oh, well, I think some people voted on the basis of climate change, and indeed we saw an increase in the Greens vote in Queensland. We're about to re-elect Senator Larissa Waters. So some people will have made a decision based on climate change.
I'm not arguing that they didn't. I'm just arguing that in some of the coal seats it does seem clear. That's all I'm saying.
Well, in some of those coal seats what you saw was the Green vote go up. You saw an increase in the support for the Greens. And unfortunately, we didn't have the alternative Prime Minister of the country making this a clear choice. Indeed, in Queensland, they talked up the prospects of the Adani mine. We had people within the union movement advocating for the mine. And so there wasn't a clear-cut decision between the Prime Minister and the opposition leader at the time.
Just moving more broadly on the whole issue of emissions, today, reported in The Australian, the energy giant BP has released a report claiming that average global greenhouse gas emissions are rising at double the rate of Australia's, largely driven by China and India, and it is based on a growing demand for coal, according to this report. If that's so, I mean, given the global demand for coal is not slowing down and our coal is said to be greener and more efficient, is there any kind of argument the Adani mine should go ahead then?
No, Fran, because in the countries you've mentioned, there's also a rapid transition to renewables, and now we're building more renewables than we are coal-fired power right across the world. We're seeing an explosion in renewable energy. Some of our biggest coal export markets like Japan and South Korea have made it clear that they want to transition to alternative fuels like clean hydrogen. And that's where Australia's future lies. We can
But if our efforts are making a little impact in terms of global emissions, as I say, this BP report says global emissions are rising at double the rate of Australia's, does that underscore the argument from some who say we're paying the price here in Australia and yet making little impact? What's the challenge, for instance, for the next meeting after the Paris Agreement? I think there's a meeting coming up in September.
No, because equally there are many, I mean, if you only have to look at the market, look at what companies like Glencore have said, and they've capped their production of coal. They have set a deadline for when they'll cap their production of coal. You're seeing a huge move, for example, in Norway. Just overnight, the Norwegian Sovereign Fund have indicated that they're not going to be investing in coal any further, and companies that make a living off the back of coal. So there's big movement going on right now, and we still haven't seen Adani get the finances for this mine. They have not secured the finances, and that's a sign that the market's moving in a very different direction. Now, I'm very confident that what we're seeing right across the world is a transition, and you're seeing in Europe that transition moving and moving very quickly. There are challenges with countries like China, but again, China's expansion of its renewable energy sector is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. What you're seeing in countries like South Korea, Japan, other developed economies is a rapid transition, and we've got a great opportunity to create jobs, to create investment, build a hydrogen economy, and make sure that those jobs are there for our kids and our grandkids, because this is an industry with no long-term future.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:15. Richard Di Natale is the newly reconfirmed federal leader of the Greens. Congratulations on that, Richard Di Natale. One of the first issues that you may come up against again as leader in the Senate is whether to push for a press freedom inquiry. Yesterday, Labor Shadow Minister Christina Keneally said there needs to be some kind of new parliamentary committee to look into the national security laws and how press freedom interacts with those, though it's reported today that some in the coalition are against an inquiry. If the government doesn't move to establish an inquiry, will the Greens seize the initiative and try and set up a Senate probe?
Absolutely. We think there should be an inquiry. But a couple of points, Fran. Firstly, this isn't just about the media. This is about more than a decade of people's basic liberties being stripped away under the name of a bipartisan consensus on national security. What you see is you see the government use the label national security to shut down debate. Unfortunately, the Labor Party has been with them almost every step of the way. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a number of draconian laws passed that don't just affect media freedoms, but affect basic freedoms of ordinary people, whistleblowers, the anti-encryption laws. Okay. We've seen changes to metadata, all done under the guise of national security. It's about time we broke down this bipartisan consensus. We need to open up the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Security and Intelligence to the crossbench, to members of the Greens, because at the moment it's a closed shop.
All right.
And it's not serving our democracy.
Richard Di Natale, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure, Fran.
Richard Di Natale, the newly reconfirmed federal leader of the Greens.